Paul, how beneficial were these past two practices for Paul Stastny and Ben Morrow, or sorry, Joe Morrow?
Just time with their partners or their line mates, really important. The stuff that goes on when they're standing on the boards talking about little plays. But really quickly, it looked like in the game itself, but in the practices, they have a sense of each other out there up front, all the little small areas. Paul's got, you know, just a lot of experience, and he's played with a lot of different players. Picks up very quickly what their tendencies are, what holes they get into quickly, where to put the puck. So they look like they've got a chemistry going.
How's Toby?
Yeah, better today. Good. He's not going tomorrow. But no? This isn't long-term, so.
It's not long-term. Yet you didn't expect him to miss him for one game, let alone two.
Yeah, you know what? He came back more swollen than he left, walking, feeling good. Came back, still thought he was all right, just a little more swollen. We've got healthy bodies. We're careful with it.
What are your plans with Mason and Hutchinson as far
as? Mace is going to play a game with the Moose to get in a game on the weekend, and then we'll go from there.
You mentioned wanting to get Hellebuck some rest this month. How much is that related to setting some fuel aside for what's to come?
Yeah, none of it. It's all rhythm and routine. Rest would be more. We got 15 games and a bunch on the road, so I'm not giving him a block of time off by any means. He just won't go in straight run set here.
So you don't have to balance that at all looking ahead, goalies or the rest of your lineup to start to?
Well, you got to be careful where you think the balance is. Right, where there's a bunch of things going on concurrently with this team, where there's young guys going through some things for the first time, and this is going to be his first, you know, numbers at the end of the year looking like a number one guy. It's in that mid-60 range. So we had an unusual run at home, which, you know, happened at the same time with a couple of goalies down, so he's probably a little bit ahead of his number, but not much with what these guys play with, so he's dealing with it. Some of it is the normal fatigue that all of these guys feel. He hasn't dealt with that in the NHL yet. It's going to be something that becomes, we think, part of his life. That's just the normal deal. So he's, you know, we haven't had a lot of travel. We haven't had a lot of sleep debt on our team by any means. So he's strong, fresh. You know, it's one game. He had a rougher night. He had a pitch to shut out the game before. Didn't look too fatigued in St. Louis, so he's fine.
I don't know much stock you put in plus minus. You do mention the number still occasionally. When you got Blake being minus, I think it's five the last two games, is it telling you anything? Are there been some holes on that line defensively? Or?
No. We do chances for and against, and that plus minus matters to us. They would almost always be on the right side of it. I mean, usually there are big drivers. They're the big gap between chances for and against. So I spend little time. The plus minus is a yearly thing, and you can kind of look at it and know what those numbers mean by based on who they play with and who they play against. I'm not worried about them.
Paul, every year since the lockout, the Chicago Blackhawks and the St. Louis Blues have been in the top three of the Central Division standings. That's changed this year. Is there a changing of the guard, do you see, in this division?
I don't think so.
No.
I think, you know, one that might be interesting to look at would be Dallas, you know, from elite in the Central to out of the playoffs, then back in and out of the playoffs. And it just means that even if you think you've arrived in the Central Division, you got to be on your A game, because three or four of those teams are going to be. And they'll run away with the division if you're not right. So I don't. You know, Colorado is going to get stronger here, the youngest team in the league, and has stayed in it. Chicago, you know, you lose your number one goalie and you get pounded by injuries. I thought our season last year, the quality of the game was far better than I think was appreciated, and I wasn't pounding the table for you to appreciate it, but when you took a look at what we did with our schedule and our injuries, that happens in the Central. You get behind it, you get in a little bit of trouble. So I don't look at either of those two teams and say there's not a lot of really, really high-end players there. And you can inject youth if you're lucky and you land a good player in the draft, or you've got a guy who's coming out of junior now. You don't have to wait 2 or 3 years. You put those in with solid veteran guys, stay healthy, and instantly you're a good team. So I think they got banged up a little bit, and they lost Crawford, who was playing exceptionally well at the time. I think that's what happened to those guys.
Paul, when you look at Jack Roslovic and the tools that he has, where do you envision him carving out his role in the NHL?
So right where he's at right now is the place that he's trying to hang on to. I like him on the wing. If the center ice is available for him maybe a couple of years from now, you know, you'll get an injury, we'll slide him in, and if he flourishes there, we might consider leaving him there. Real good quickness and good kind of that lower body strength on the wall. I mean, he's not a grinder, but for a guy with good hands and good quickness, he can win enough battles on the wall, get in and get on the puck. His real challenge for it, and Nashville wasn't his A game, so is to be able to drive every single night. What is true of Jack is true of Kyle Connor and Nicky when he first came in. So you look at a game like Nashville, he still, you know, made one great defensive play, set up a goal, ripped the crossbar. What's unusual about these guys is they still find a way to be able to produce while they're learning all the other parts of the game. So that all the other parts of the game, and as we get healthy, there'll become more and more pressure on him to be really hard, really good, really quick, smart with the puck on every shift. That's the area that we're looking for him to improve. All of these kids come in with an awful lot of pace in their game because they're fast, but playing in the league that they play in, they don't have to play fast. Right, they can slow things down, curl, hang on to the puck a little bit longer. Here you can't, and the league keeps every year in the last 4 years. There you go. That's a sign I'm almost done. Gets faster. For him, it's all pace. Can he drive every shift?
You mentioned him and Kyle Connor in the same breath. Do you see their climb from seasoning in the American Hockey League to learning, you know, the structure of this team, excelling at that structure, and then coming here part of that transition? Or is it, I mean, of course that would be part of it, but is it more of a something he possesses in his skill set or his IQ that has allowed him to kind of, like you mentioned, jump from where he is now to producing on the fourth line to kind of fitting in wherever he puts?
You know what, you don't see, and I'm sure there are good examples, you can prove me wrong, but you don't see a lot of really good young defensive players come in and play anything above the fourth line, right? So these kids that are coming in now, they have an unusual skill set. They all skate very well. They got really, really good hands. Kyle is a slightly different player in that his stream is speed. His speed is extreme. Jack would have been a bit more of a timing player, not quite using that, but he's very, very quick when he goes. So what we're trying to do with Jack is to get a little bit more of that quickness out consistently with everything that he does, every route that he runs, a little faster, a little quicker. As soon as these young guys stop reading the play and it just comes to them, they've seen it enough times that there's no read to it. They just react to it. You say, boy, they got a lot faster. But they're already fast. They're just trying to find the right time, the right read, and once they make it, they can go quick. That's why some of the older players, and I'd like, you know, Paul Stastny might be a real good example of it. Not blazing speed by anything, but he plays a very, very quick game because he wastes no time figuring out what the read is.
We talk about, you know, playoff runs or getting towards the playoffs, and obviously guys like Blake and a lot of the leaders and the older guys are going to be the focus of that success. But when you look at teams in the past and guys that have kind of popped off the page, in particular where you have guys like Jack Roslovic and Kyle Connor, I imagine they're going to be leaned on just as much to do their role or to produce.
Yeah, I would think that the pressure in some ways for us to win a round in the playoffs will be as much on their shoulders than on the drivers, because you know what they're going to deliver. This will be for these young guys, being able to drive at that pace, to play at a playoff pace, will be another new experience for them.
On special teams, I paid some attention to the second unit, and I've seen some Ehlers on the right wall, and I've seen them on the left wall. And
yep.
The question that I have now is just, in terms of special teams, it's going very well. Are there systems A, B, and C for in case playoffs come and folks have
there better? There are ideas based on opponents. So whether Brian and Nikki are on their natural sides or on their one-timer sides has a lot more to do with what they think the opponent's going to do and what they can get away with. So when you're on your natural sides, different things open up. You saw Blake drives down, finds Mark quite a bit with that. The other unit's different because we do have Patty on as one-timer. It's really a function of what the other team does. So those two guys like to switch back and forth depending on the defense they're seeing.
Well, you're obviously at a very different place in the standings than you were at this point last season. Does it start with goaltending for you and then work its way out? What's the biggest difference that you see, that you've seen in your group?
It's depth, right? So, and it's depth by development. So the players that we brought back are a little bit better this year than they were, a little faster, a little stronger. They understand the game quite a bit better. You know, the younger players that we've put in certainly have made us a little better hockey team. The addition to Kulikov and Myers, you know, we put an NHL pair of defensemen in our group. And all of those things, Connor is a better goaltender than he was a year this time, but he needed to go through that to get to this level. All of those things go together in that we give our goalie a little better chance most nights, and then the pressure has come off any individual piece of our game as our power play has been good. Our penalty kill has certainly built over the course of the year to get better. Our 5-on-5 structure has been pretty darn good. So they all go hand in hand, but it would end up being depth. When we've suffered some pretty significant long-term injuries here, we've had good NHL players to put in the lineup. So depth for me is the difference.
How are you guys
I love him.
Yeah. Care about him fighting? Care about him dropping the gloves? I know everyone has their boiling point.
Is there a fight coming?
No, but last game, I mean, he kind of...
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I was way over here. You're asking me that, and I...
You care that he's engaging, and I mean, you like that passion, I imagine, but do you care about that line? Does he need to walk that line a little bit better?
I have never found him... near that line. Like it doesn't I saw it. I didn't think anything of it at all. You're going to see more of it as these games amp up. I don't need anybody to fight in our lineup. There's some guys that, you know, I don't know that I've ever seen Mark fight, so I'm not interested in seeing that unless he's really good at it and his hands are strong and but that one, no. I that's out of the game for the most part in the NHL. There are probably four or five guys that get into enough confrontations on the ice and have had enough experience fighting that you're not surprised when it happens. There's just not a whole lot of it.
Do